In this manner, therefore, pray, says Jesus, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The third petition in the Lord's Prayer is, your will be done on earth the same as it is in heaven. That there is no difference whether the will of God is done in heaven or on earth, that it's done everywhere. That's the prayer. We are asking God, the Father, the creator of the universe, to help us to align our will with his will, to merge or yield our will, everything that we want, all our desires, all our cares, to merge it into his desires and his cares. The famous writer C.S. Lewis wrote these words about the Lord's Prayer, about this particular request. There are only two kinds of people in the end. Listen carefully. Those who say to God, thy will be done, and those to whom God says in the end, thy will be done. All that are in hell choose it. Without that self-choice, there would be no hell. No soul that is seriously and constantly desires joy will ever miss it. Those who seek, find. Those who knock, it is opened. This is from C.S. Lewis's book, The Great Divorce. What is the origin of this well-meaning saying, thy will be done? Now, we can easily say, and we can have the attitude that if we're sick, that we say, Lord, thy will be done, whether you want to heal me or not. But sometimes it's good to really explore or seek out the will of God for every situation. And that's the tough part, being a believer. Because a lot of times when someone is sick, when cancer hits us, we say, is it the Lord's will to be healed, or does he want to take me through cancer? But a lot of them that have believed and that have really claimed the promises of God have experienced, it was indeed God's will to heal them. And he did. Let's never forget that. Just because you are sick, you don't have to really right away commit or should I say succumb to the sickness. You still have God who can overrule and heal every sickness. Now, I didn't really plan on going this far yet about this, but the prayer that we are to pray here is a prayer of total obedience to God. We actually pray that God will help us to submit under his authority. That's the actual prayer. We prayed last time, thy kingdom come, and I have still prayed all week about this theme, thy kingdom come, because it's God's rulership that we need to acknowledge, we need to see, we need to experience, and then we say, your will be done. We pray that God's kingdom, as it has come, that we and others may be brought into obedience to all the laws and all the commands in the Bible. Not going back to the Old Testament, but the New Testament that's given to us, the New Covenant. Because being under the New Covenant, We are under the covenant of grace and of love. That's the law we are under now. It's His grace and His love. And His love is so wonderful, His love is so great, that it is the answer to all ailments and all calamity on earth. By this, we pray, let it appear that Christ's kingdom is and has come, and therefore let God's will be done. Because His will, let me put it this way, God's will is what we would want if we knew all the circumstances and all the information, past, present, and future. If we had the full picture in mind, God's will is exactly what we would want to choose for ourselves and for our families and for others. We pray that we would be under His authority. Lord, this is kind of an old prayer. Thy will be done. Lord, do what Thou pleaseth with me and mine. It's an old saying. I refer myself to Thee and am well satisfied that all Thy counsel concerning me should be performed. That's profound. I am satisfied with the idea that even though I may place a blank sheet of paper to you and sign it prior to having anything written on it, I hand it to you, Lord, and say, whatever you put on it, I agree to it. It's risky, isn't it? It's scary, isn't it? But we submit to His will, His word, His law, His order, His plan, and of course, His rulership is a rulership of love, of kindness, of joy, and of peace. He has a kingdom of peace, and that's what we strive for. I want to read a few things from Matthew Henry's commentary on this, because I found this very profound as well. In this sense, Christ prayed, not my will, but thine be done, which means, enable me to do what is pleasing to thee. Give me that grace that is necessary to the right knowledge of thy will and an acceptable obedience to it. Let thy will be done conscientiously by me and others, not our own will, not the will of the flesh or the will of the mind or the will of men, much less Satan's will. We may neither displease God in anything we do, nor be displeased at anything God does. The pattern of it, that it might be done on earth, in this place, our trial and our probation, where our work must be done, or it never will be done, as it is done in heaven, that place and rest of rest and joy. We pray that earth may be made more like heaven. Is that possible? Isn't this an impossible prayer that we say, Lord, let heaven come down and become part of earth? We say, not on this earth, not in this world. This world is full of suffering and pain and calamity. Let's go on. We pray that earth may be made more like heaven by the observance of God's will. This earth, which through the prevalence of Satan's will has become so near akin to hell. And that saints may be made more like the holy angels in their devotion and obedience. We are on earth, blessed be God, not yet under the earth. We pray for the living only, not for the dead. that have gone down into silence. That is from Matthew Henry's commentary. I thought this was profound. It's something that is not even imaginable, that heaven would come down. But isn't there a song, "Heaven Came Down and Filled My Soul, Glory Filled My Soul"? Isn't that beautiful? This is what we pray, that His glory would be in our souls, in our hearts, that we would be carriers. Some of us, we think we should reflect the glory of God. No, we should have the glory of God shine in our hearts. We should be part of it. Thy will be done, the will of God, that men and women and children should obey His law. And according to what we read before, His will, His law is for us to be holy. That's a very high ideal, right? It is a very high standard, yet it's not impossible, because with God all things are possible. And without God, how much is possible? Jesus says, without me you can do how much? Nothing. So with God, all things are possible. With God, we can become acceptable. Holy means that we are set apart for God, that we are acceptable to God. And that is His will. His will is our sanctification, which means that we are thoroughly made holy and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, that we are cleansed through and through, as 1 Thessalonians 5 is saying, sanctified through and through. That is God's will. So the object of the first three petitions that Jesus makes here in the Lord's Prayer is that God's name should be glorified, His kingdom be established, and it is at hand, as He preached it. And by being placed first, we learn that His glory and kingdom are more of consequence than our wants. They are higher, they are bigger than our wants or our own desires, and that these should be first in our hearts. And the petitions He makes here before the throne of grace is that we set God and His kingdom first. And if that happens, basically what He says is everything else will fall into place. And if you didn't get everything that you wanted, so what? It doesn't matter. What matters is God's glory in the end. And that's His will. So why should we pray that God's will should be done? Isn't God all-powerful, and can't He do whatever He wants according to Psalm 115, verse 3? Yes, He can. He can do whatever He chooses. So why do we need to pray this prayer? Isn't it unnecessary? God will do whatever He wants anyway, so why bother Him with anything, right? Or why should we pray to maybe try to change His mind? And many people believe you cannot change God's mind. If God has allowed something to happen, He will not change that. You cannot change God's mind. So don't even try to pray about it, because that is supposed to be this way. No, that's not true. I said before, our will, when it is yield to Christ's will, to God's will, we will want God's will to be done. And I pray a lot about some issues, and I do struggle at times in prayer and in my faith. And I wonder so many times, why did God not heal this person or that person? Why did God not intervene here or prevent this from happening? I don't understand it. And I don't have all the answers. Someone recently told me, so you are saying you don't have all the answers? And they were surprised. I said, absolutely. I used to have a lot more answers than I do today. You know that? When you're young, you have basically, I would say, 99% of the answers, right? Yeah, so, I mean, you know everything. And when you get older, you realize you know very little. It's just how life is. But this is in regards to God's will as well. Before we pray for our daily needs, and this is next time, that God provides for us, we need to pray, "Your will be done in my life." And so many people are confused about why God allows this to happen in their lives or that to happen, and they're frustrated, they become bitter, they become resentful. Why? Because they have not yet yielded, or maybe gotten off of the will of God. They have not yet yielded their will to God. They have not entered, and let me put it this way, entered the will of God as to the basics of salvation and the work of the Holy Spirit. So what is God's will? God's purpose for creating human beings is for them to ultimately become members of his family and live with God forever in heaven. That's his will. Everyone you meet today, everyone you meet this week, God wants them one day to be in heaven. That is his plan, that is his purpose for us and for everyone on this earth. To become members of his family, his kingdom. This process begins with humans around the globe, wherever it is. Explaining Christ's background and reason for coming into the in the flesh, John wrote the following in 1 John, or John chapter 1, verse 10 through 13. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power or the right to become children of God. Now, John is talking about a group of people that responded to the preaching of the gospel, where Jesus started preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Those that responded and opened their heart to the message, they became so strong, they received power to become children of God. And that is indeed God's will for everyone. Not everyone chose to do it, and that is the sad part, because you cannot, God will not force anyone to do his will or to pray, "Your will be done." So many people, all they know is my will or the highway, or my will or no will. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power and the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. That is God's will, the new birth. God the Father is the one who calls people. Jesus said, "The Father, if he draws the people, they will come to me." And after receiving this call, when they repent and they respond in repentance of their sin and are baptized and pray to receive the Holy Spirit, they then become part of God's family, God's ownership, and they submit their will to God's will, and they are the ones that can pray, "Now your will be done." But also, as believers, we pray that God's will would be done and many other souls would come under the authority of his kingdom. Paul is describing, and he says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." This is all the precursors to what is coming next, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do we find the perfect will of God? We find it first that we submit our bodies as living sacrifices to God. We come to Him and submit our will to God. We are being conformed to Christ and not to the world. We are being transformed by the renewing of our minds. All of this leads us to the point where we say we are under the perfect will of God. Thy will be done. That's where He wants to lead us. That is His will. We say, well, that's very extreme, isn't it? No, it's not. That's normal. That's God's normal. That's the normal life that He wants us to have. So abundant. So the second part here that I want to address is we need, as God's people, in God's kingdom, we need to pray that His will be done, and we need to have a Thy will be done attitude. To always yield to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what He did. He's a wonderful example to this in this regard. Prior to His crucifixion, Jesus prayed to His Father about the great trial and the great suffering He would go through. He prayed knowing that the pain would be very severe. He prayed not just once, but the second time, and then the third time, He says, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, then Thy will be done." Now, it would appear that Jesus would have actually, and I think this was His struggle. He was human. He was in the flesh. And whoever is in the flesh, we don't like to die. We don't like to be reminded of dying. People have told me they would never want to live close to a cemetery. I said, why not? They're very quiet neighbors. They said, no, that's too spooky. They don't want to be reminded that one day we too will be 6 feet under. We don't like death. And with Jesus, He had this struggle. This is why His sweat turned into blood drops, because He was battling death. This was a cup that He was supposed to drink. And in the cup, He not only saw the physical suffering that He would go through. In this cup, Jesus saw that He would be separated from His Father because of our sin. And I think that was perhaps the most bitter part of the suffering. My God, why have you forsaken me? He saw that in Gethsemane. He saw that in this cup. But yet, He said, Father, if this is what you want, even though in me I fear it, I'm afraid of it, I know I'm supposed to do this, but I cannot do this on my own. If this is what you want, I submit to your will be done. That is the example Jesus gave us. He yielded completely to the will of the Father. And we know the outcome. We know that this was already planned and foretold for many thousands of years prior to Jesus' time. In Revelation, we see this, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. It was already all there when God created the world. The plan of salvation was already complete. That's what Jesus has done for us, for you and for me. He gave Himself He gave everything. And Jesus then later said, he prophesied on his own. He said, as Moses raised the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And when the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. That is the biggest draw to the cross. He died for you and me. And when we make that personal, and when you come to the cross, to Calvary, when you bow your knees at Calvary and you cry out, oh Lord, save me and cleanse me from my sin and my guilt and my burdens, then the burden rolls off. And he says, it is the Father's will that you are forgiven. It is the Father's will that you become a child of God. It is the Father's will that you become holy, that you become sanctified, that your will merges into the Father's will, and then he shares his glory with you. That's what Jesus tells us at the cross. I remember the story of Jesus being in Samaria at the well there in John chapter 4. The disciples, after they had come and after he had talked to the Samaritan woman, they wanted Jesus to eat, and he said this, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What an example Jesus gave to us. Doing the will of the Father. He said the real food is to do God's will. That's more important than natural food. To be in the Father's will, to know that I'm finishing his work. And his will is that all would be saved and none would perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that everyone that believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Perhaps this is the most difficult prayer that we could even imagine. In the most hopeless situation, maybe in the midst of suffering, to then say, Lord, not mine, but your will be done. It's not easy. In fact, it's impossible unless with his grace. And so I believe we should pray, Lord, give me the grace to always pray this prayer, not mine, but your will be done, that I would always have this attitude, I could be wrong in my wants and my wishes, but God's will is perfect and I yield to it. It doesn't mean that we accept every situation the way it comes, but in every situation we seek the will of God, how God wants to be glorified in that situation. Did you know that through your trials and through your illness and through your pain, in every situation God wants to be glorified? Because that's good for us, that's good for his name. And as we live our lives, we should have this thy will be done attitude, living according with God's will, according to Matthew 6:38, should be our top priority. And as we do, as God commands and as he wills, then we can one day hear these beautiful words that Jesus spoke in Matthew 25. One day when we come before the Master and the Lord sees us and he says to us, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. That is the most beautiful thing you and I could ever imagine hearing, the Lord himself speak to us in that way. You blessed of the Father. I pray that you will be, and we will join in the blessed a group of people in the chosen ones of the Father, that one day we will see him in glory forever and ever. Amen.